Support for this program is provided by Chevron, the human energy company.
Hey, this is Politico Energy. I'm Josh Siegel. There's a legal fight brewing in Puerto Rico that could threaten the future of rooftop solar incentives in the territory. And that's a big deal because Puerto Rico has some of the most ambitious renewable energy goals in the United States. And because rooftop solar has become a reliable source of power as the territory's grid remains unreliable. Today, I chat with Politico's Gloria Gonzalez about why this fight is happening in the first place and the potential consequences for the territory and the solar industry. It's Friday, July 12th.
At the surface of it, it's about net metering policy in Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico's legislature several years ago passed a net metering policy that basically aimed to boost the adoption of rooftop solar across the territory. And it's been fairly successful in doing so. Puerto Rico has gone from having virtually no rooftop solar in 2017, around the time that Hurricane Maria devastated the territory, including knocking down the power grid. And now they have more than 800 megawatts. So it's been an incredibly successful policy. And quite frankly, it's the only renewable energy resource in Puerto Rico that's growing to any great level. The dispute comes down to the potential changes to the net metering policy. Puerto Rico lawmakers last year passed a law, and the governor signed it this year, to extend the current policies until at least 2030 into 2031. And the reason they did that is because they didn't want to disrupt what has been the only growing source of renewable energy in Puerto Rico. They found themselves at odds with the powerful board that oversees Puerto Rico's finances, the Oversight Board, which basically is arguing that what the legislature did interferes with the independence of the energy regulator, who is supposed to be the organization that makes these types of policy decisions. So you have a really interesting alliance of renewable energy, environmentalists, and lawmakers, and the governor, all against this powerful board that has a lot of say in Puerto Rico's finances because of the historic bankruptcy that the territory found itself in several years ago.
And in your reporting, you talk to clean energy advocates who really outlines some of their fears for both the territory and the solar industry if this law is overturned. So what did they tell you, and just how concerned are they?
Yeah, they're very concerned, and there's a number of reasons why. I mean, one of them relates to the fact that rooftop solar is really the only renewable resource that is growing in the territory. There's other attempts to build utility scale solar or utility scale wind, but they're not advancing anywhere near the growth levels of rooftop solar. And so that's one of the reasons that they're concerned, particularly because Puerto Rico has some very strong renewable energy goals that are enshrined in their law. They legally have to meet these goals, including receiving their electricity from 40% from renewable sources by next year. That's a goal that's probably not going to be met, and it definitely will not be met if there's a backslide in rooftop solar. The other concern is that Puerto Rico's power grid is just incredibly fragile. It just keeps failing. In June, there were several outages unrelated to hurricanes. There was just transformers failing and transmission line issues, and one of them knocked out power to about 350,000 customers in Puerto Rico. So the idea that you would take away a reliable source of power in a territory that doesn't have a lot of reliable power is problematic for many folks.
Wow. And some of the clean energy advocates you spoke with also made the comparison between this situation and what happened to California. I'm sure a lot of listeners are aware of the fight there over rooftop solar and net metering that was in 2022. So can you talk about that situation and any parallels that you're seeing?
Yes. Yeah, so it's a really interesting parallels that people have been drawing. And the one of the challenges that people are concerned about is that California's, if you listen to the California Solar and Storage Association, they will say that the market has cratered in California ever since the regulator implemented those changes to the net metering compensation structure. Now, there's some question about whether or not that is the case. but there has been a drop off in rooftop solar activity that people tie directly to those regulatory changes. So people are concerned about something similar happening in Puerto Rico, that if there are any changes to the current compensation structure, which is generous in giving a one-to-one compensation for people who sell power back to the grid, that it's going to discourage people from adopting these rooftop solar systems. And in Puerto Rico, there's the additional challenge of much of the population is low income. Puerto Rico has one of the highest levels of poverty in the United States. And so for people who with lower incomes, one of the only ways they can afford rooftop solar is to have the ability to sell the power back to the grid. So any changes to the structure there could really affect them on a very personal and financial level.
And what's the next big step in this fight in Puerto Rico, and how long do you think it could take for all this to play out?
Yeah, I mean, it could take quite some time. The next step is people are expecting the oversight board to sue to overturn the law. Basically, the oversight board, Congress granted the oversight board very extensive powers over Puerto Rico's finances. And so the oversight board could go to court and ask a federal judge to overturn any law that the legislature and the governor passed that they think is problematic from a financial perspective for Puerto Rico. And they have said for a number of reasons that this particular law is problematic, mostly because they think that it interferes with the independent regulators' ability to make decisions about policy, energy policy in the territory. But one of the things that the executive director told me when I interviewed him in Puerto Rico was that the board is very concerned about reverting to past policies in Puerto Rico, where you had lawmakers making decisions that were not in the best financial interest of the territory for political reasons. And that was one of the main reasons why Puerto Rico was in a historic municipal, the largest municipal bankruptcy ever in the United States history. And so they really don't want to see that happen again. And they fear that this is one of the actions that could really lead Puerto Rico back down a dark path from a financial perspective.
Also, the Biden administration is facing its first legal challenge to the implementation of the EV tax credit rules under the Inflation Reduction Act. Wave, a California-based manufacturer of low-speed electric vehicles, is suing the Treasury Department because it says its vehicles were improperly excluded from the credit. That's it for Politico Energy. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our free newsletter, Power Switch, and subscribe to Politico Pro to read our morning energy newsletter. Nirma Malaikal is the podcast producer. Catherine Morehouse was a guest host this week. Matt Daly and Gloria Gonzalez edited the show with help from Annie Reese, Kara Tabor, and Alex Keeney. Some of our music is composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Follow the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. And if you are a regular listener to the show, please share it with a friend or colleague who might like it too. I'm Josh Siegel. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back on Monday.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron, who is innovating to help responsibly meet rising energy demand across their U.S. operations, like at their Gulf of Mexico facilities, which are some of the world's lowest carbon intensity operations, helping supply energy that's affordable, reliable, and ever cleaner. That's energy in progress. Learn more at chevron.com/meetingdemand.